All rise. Hear ye, hear ye. It is time for the Crunch Exchange, where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports, and Steve, he tells us if he is buying, selling, or the often used when I come up with these questions, pending. And we begin with Black Monday in the NFL, where over a quarter of the coaches in the NFL were fired at the end of Week 17 of the 2018 season. One of them was Cincinnati Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. Lewis had been leading the Bengals since 2003 to a 131-122 record in 16 seasons. The Bengals won the AFC North four times in 16 years, made the playoffs another three times, and had all of zero playoff wins. Lewis was given an extension by the Cincy front office, and even last week it was reported that Lewis would be able to leave whenever he wanted, and Lewis had all the power until Monday when Lewis was let go. Bengals are in an interesting situation. They kind of struggled on defense this year, but they have a talented wide receiver duo in A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd. Joe Mixon led the AFC in rushing, and Andy Dalton isn't a great QB, but at the very least, he's kind of a franchise quarterback as well. The Bengals are a very much meh franchise in a meh division, with the Browns, who are going to be better. The Ravens are going to be trying to ride Lamar Jackson, and who knows how that goes. And the Steelers are an off-field mess. But more importantly, the one Bengal fan is going to want his next head coach to be somebody that can get his team their first playoff victory since January of 1990. The prospectus, the Bengals win a playoff game with their next head coach.
I'm going to sell that. With a lot of conviction.
Fair enough. It's the Bengals. Sticking in the AFC North, the Steelers are falling apart at the seams. They missed the playoffs for the third time in Mike Tomlin's 12 years. And while they haven't had a losing season since 2003, it really feels like the Steelers are steps away from becoming really, really bad. Ben Roethlisberger is 37 and seems unwilling to mentor a younger quarterback. Le'Veon Bell passed on $14 million to play for them, and now their star wide receiver Antonio Brown has turned full diva. Brown is 30 years old, had a 1,200-yard season, a league-leading 15 touchdowns, and right before Week 17 in a game the Steelers had to win, Brown reportedly threw a ball at Big Ben during practice, skipped on practice all neat, walked up to the stadium on game day, expected to play, was told, hey, you didn't practice, you're not going to play, and left at halftime. Now the speculation is that Brown wants out of Pittsburgh. He's liked pictures of Instagram of him in a 49ers jersey, followed the Niners on IG, unfollowed the Steelers, tweeted out some interesting things during Tomlin's final press conference, all pointing to Brown being out. The money's going to be tough to deal with. His cap hit is around $20 million for the next 3 years. What would the market be for an all-pro wide receiver who now brings the diva wide receiver tag with him? Would Pitt want to lose two face of the franchise players in the same offseason? The prospectus, AB is traded from the Steelers this offseason.
By the way, the Steelers, for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned and we're going to talk about, Cincinnati takes a step back. Both Cleveland and Baltimore end up handing the reins of the offense to rookie quarterbacks, and they don't make the playoffs there and lose in, what, four of their last five games? That's a disgraceful finish. They got to work this out. I mean, with Smith-Schuster and he, and if Connor comes back, Roethlisberger's going to be back. They still have the pieces in place, and they're going to need them, because if Lamar Jackson's the player he looks like and Mayfield is, it's going to be a much tougher North. So I'm just saying, out of necessity. Did you ask me if he's going to be traded?
Yes.
No, they can't. I'm going to sell that.
The off-field drama continues with the New York Football Giants, once again with the main topic being talked about all the time, the future of the quarterback position. Will Eli Manning be back in 2019 for his 16th season with the G-Men? The last 2 years have been especially tough on Eli, who threw for less than 4,000 yards and 20 touchdowns for the first time since 2013, but bounced back in 2018 with a full season with OBJ and a whopping 21 touchdowns and 4,200 yards, but was sacked a career-high 47 times. Some Giants fans see the O-line as the problem, clearly, and that if Eli had even decent blockers in front of him, he'd be that much better. Others see Eli's old age as the problem, and the Giants need to take a look at the draft. Daniel Jones of Duke, obviously. The maligned vets that have been demoted to backup, like Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, or Carson Wentz, if the Eagles want to do that. Blake Bortles? Who knows? Giants GM Dave Gettleman won't commit to either direction of the future. On one hand, he says he wants to build for success, and on the other, Eli can still make all of the NFL throws and is needed. Well, it's time to pick a side. The prospectus, Eli Manning starts for the Giants in 2019.
You know, the bottom line is, as in flux as it was, with Solder and Wheeler at tackle and the rookie Will Hernandez, their second round pick, the offensive line was way better this year than last year. I'm not kidding. There's some instability if this pulley kid could play at center. But Barkley averaged 5 yards a carry. I know that there's a lot of 2, 4, 6, 80s in there, which jacks up the average. And I do not see a quarterback that I would go with fifth year that's going to change much of what happened this year. You look at what Manning's numbers were this year, and you would have called him slightly above average, actually, with 4,300 yards, 21 TDs. And I don't think they have any options yet. I don't think there's the other quarterback out there. I actually think Eli's coming back to start by that. And I'm not saying I'm happy about it.
It's just going to happen, though. As I mentioned at the start, over a quarter of coaches in the NFL lost their job on Black Monday. That is an average of one coach per division. Plenty of these recently fired coaches are going to find their way back into the NFL's coordinators or even other head coaching jobs this winter, like Mike McCarthy. And I've asked you this before. I think it was a lightning round, but I feel like we're due for a college coach to make the jump to the NFL as a head coach. The last one was Chip Kelly, worked out for a bit. Mark Helfrich is an OC for the Bears, and that was after sitting out a year for his Oregon tenure. But the flashy big name that many thought would make the jump was Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, likely to Cleveland to work with Baker Mayfield. Instead, Riley signed an extension with OU, locking him down for at least one more year. And now the new flashy name is USC coordinator and former Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury, where USA Today Sports is reporting that Kingsbury is on the Cardinals and the Jets interview list. The Packers reportedly want to interview Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald as the NFL is slowly incorporating offenses that look more and more like college offenses. So the prospectus, a college football coach jumps to the NFL in 2019.
Oh, just one?
Just a coach.
Has to make the move? Huh. I think what you said about the trend in offenses, and rather than a GM or a shot caller at the NFL level going with a regurgitation, be it McCarthy or somebody like that, I'll go for that. I think somebody will roll the dice. I'll buy that.
Speaking of college coaches leaving their job, it has happened a lot this weekend. Manny Diaz left Miami to be the head coach at Temple, was a head coach for about 3 weeks and 15 seconds, and jumped back to Miami when Mark Richt suddenly retired from the U. Danner Holgorsen has now left for the University of Houston from West Virginia, and last year Oregon saw his first hand with Willie Taggart when he left for Florida State. Coaching changes have major effects all over the university, but the biggest effect is the one it has on the players. These high school kids at 17, 18 years old signed off a piece of paper on a fax machine, probably to learn what a fax machine is, to play for a coach at that university. We all know that there are no limits on coaches needing to sit out if he changes his job, and a player, unless they're a grad transfer, has to sit out a year. National Signing Day was just last week, and plenty of kids signed for Temple, West Virginia, Miami, and other schools, thinking they were going to be playing for that head coach, only for him to leave or end up fired. Now the kids are stuck playing for a coach that likely didn't recruit them, and the punishment for leaving is sitting out a full season. The prospectus, there should be a college amendment on transfers and commitments if a coach leaves.
Oh, when you're recruited by coach and staff A, B, C, D, and E, you get there and you're like, they're gone. You're like, so am I. That should be the rule. No question about it. Bye.
And last one, college football's favorite internet meme game, Dumb Question to Play, is back and stronger than ever, is Texas back! Sophomore quarterback Sam Ellinger led the Longhorns to a 10-4 record, a Big 12 championship game appearance, and a Sugar Bowl win against Georgia. Ellinger looks like a store brand version of Tim Tebow with his 3,300 passing yards, 480 rushing yards, and 31 touchdowns, 15 passing, 16 rushing. Texas was the 22nd ranked team according to Sports Reference's simple rating system, and head coach Tom Herman seems committed to take the Longhorns to the next level. He said on Twitter that being back means being in contention for a natty, and it looks like Texas should be the favorites to win the Big 12, which should be wide open in 2019. There's likely going to be no Heisman-winning quarterback at Oklahoma. West Virginia's lost their starting quarterback and head coach. Mike Gundy hasn't done anything ever with Oklahoma State, and maybe, just maybe, Les Miles gets some sort of competitiveness out of Kansas. Texas next year in 2019, well, this year, plays Louisiana Tech, LSU, and Rice in their non-conference games as well. The prospectus.
LSU.
Texas is back.
Sell it.
Oh.
No. It's Texas. When they're in the national championship picture, they're back. If Kansas gets in the division race, that's them being back. It's different levels, different programs.